Continuing with Chapter 29 of Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a Doctor's Eyewitness Account. Late in the afternoon, already having sent at least 10,000 men to their death, Dr. Mengele arrived. He listened attentively to my report concerning both the in vivo and post-mortem observations made on the two victims. "These bodies must not be cremated," he said. "They must be prepared and their skeletons sent to the Anthropological Museum in Berlin. What systems do you know for the preparation of skeletons?" "There are two methods," I said. "The first consists of immersing the bodies in lime chloride, which consumes all the soft parts in about 2 weeks' time. Then the bodies are immersed in a gasoline bath, which dissolves all the fat and makes the skeletons dry, odorless, and white. Then there's a second method, by cooking. What you do there is boil the bodies in water until the flesh can easily be stripped from the bones. Then the same gasoline bath is applied." Dr. Mengele ordered me to use the quickest method, by cooking. In the Katzet, orders were always cursory. How the prisoners should go about procuring the materials necessary for their execution was never specified. The order had to be carried out, and that was as much as was known. I was therefore faced with a serious problem. What could I have the bodies cooked in? I put the question to Oberscharführer Mussfeld. I told him that I had two bodies that had to be cooked, but that I didn't have any. Even he was horrified by my tale. He thought for a minute, then remembered that there were two iron casks in the courtyard which were generally used in the storehouse. He put them at my disposal and advised me to place them on bricks in the courtyard and to light an open fire beneath them. The base was prepared, and the two casks containing the bodies placed upon it. Two Sonderkommando men were given the job of gathering wood and keeping the fire hot. After 5 hours, I tested the bodies and found that the soft parts were now easily separable from the bones. I ordered the fire to be put out, but the casks had to stay there until they cooled. Having nothing else to do, I remained seated beneath a little arbor not far from the casks. A deep silence surrounded me. Some prisoner masons were in the process of repairing the crematorium chimneys. Dusk was falling. The casks ought to be cold by now. I was just about to have them emptied when one of my men came running up to me and said, "Doctor, hurry! The Poles are eating the meat in the casks." I took off as fast as my legs could carry me. Four men, dressed in the striped jergen of prisoners, were standing beside the casks, struck dumb with horror. They were the Polish masons I had noticed earlier. They had finished their work and were waiting in the courtyard for their guards to come and take them back to Auschwitz I. Starved, they had been scrounging for some food when by chance they had come upon the casks, which had been left unguarded for a few minutes. Thinking it was the Sonderkommando meat which was being cooked, they had sniffed at it, then fetched up some pieces of flesh, which were not covered with skin, and begun to eat them. They had not gotten very far, however, for the two Sonderkommando men detailed to supervise the cooking and watch the casks had seen what was happening and hurried back. When they learned what kind of meat it was they had been eating, the Poles were sick, horrified, paralyzed.